Welcome to the Fasting Well podcast. This is the second episode, and today I'll be sharing my story, or in other words, some of the experiences and things I've learned over the past several years that have led me to this moment and starting this podcast, not to mention the website that I started last year. Specifically, I'll be talking about my experiences in podiatric medical school, also known as podiatry school, as well as PA school. I'll talk about my work experience as a PA in the emergency room, family practice, and urgent care. I'll talk about how I got interested in intermittent fasting or fasting in general, as well as the ketogenic diet, and many of the experiences that I've had since then, including some short fasts, some long fasts. I'll even talk about the longest fast I ever did and what that was like. And lastly, I'll talk a little bit about how all the things I've learned and all the experiences I've had have prepared me to be able to share with you some useful information that can help you improve your health. So let's go back to 2006. Back in 2006, I finished college and moved from Idaho, where I was going to college, down to the Phoenix area in Arizona to start podiatric medical school. Now, in podiatry school, the first couple years we took most of the same classes as the medical students. That includes the big classes like biochemistry, anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, and pathology, for example. So I took a whole bunch of science classes and learned a lot. And I learned a little bit about nutrition. Not a lot, but we did do a unit in biochemistry class that was specifically about nutrition. In retrospect, it was pretty limited, but there were a few interesting points that kind of sparked my interest and still stick with me to this day. After being at school for a couple years, I tried going on a diet. Now, I had gained some weight. A lot of people in medical school gain weight, ironically, because it's stressful and things like that. But I had kind of ballooned up to about 200 pounds, which was a lot for me. And so I did some research about what kind of diet to do, and I found this thing called the DASH diet. And I carefully mapped out what kind of foods I was going to be eating and things like that, and I went on this DASH diet. And I lost about 25 pounds in a couple months. Unfortunately, though, I kind of yo-yoed up and down after that over the next few years, probably because it was mainly based on calorie restriction, which most likely slowed down my metabolism a little bit and probably lost some lean weight as well. But anyway, that was an interesting experience that kind of planted the seed, so to speak, that, hey, this is pretty cool how I can do this, and maybe I can teach other people how to do this as well. About a year after that, I read a book called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. It was all about nutrition. It was fairly evidence-based. It was written by a researcher from Harvard, and it was pretty conventional, meaning it was pretty closely aligned with the kind of guidelines we've been getting from the government over the past few decades. And so in retrospect, some of it was good advice and some of it was not such good advice, but it was very interesting and I felt like I was very educated about nutrition and ready to really keep learning more about that topic and optimizing my own nutrition and things like that. So while I was in podiatric medical school, I went on several clinical rotations, particularly the third year, because I didn't go all the way through the fourth year, but I'll get to that in a moment. But the third year, I did rotations in things like, well, podiatry, that makes sense, but also dermatology, neurology, wound care, internal medicine, and some other ones that I'm maybe forgetting at the moment. But regardless, I started to see out in the real world a lot of the effects of things like diabetes and obesity. Of course, in the context of podiatry, that often means foot wounds. A lot of people with diabetes have wounds on their feet or these ulcers that don't heal very easily. And sometimes that meant doing amputations on people. I assisted in several of those when I was doing my surgical rotations. So I started to get a glimpse of some of the unfortunate downstream effects of lifestyle, basically. Now, I ultimately, while I was in podiatry school, I decided to switch gears and switch career paths. And so I stepped away and ultimately went to PA school instead. So I started PA school in 2011. And I took a bunch of classes again. A lot of them were the same classes, like biochemistry and anatomy and physiology. And they were a bit easier the second time around since I'd already taken them before. And then I did rotations in PA school again and through a bunch of different specialties. And And again, I was observing these real-world consequences of things like diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity, which are often related to lifestyle. So I graduated in 2013 and started working in the emergency room. And I also worked for a while in urgent care and family practice. So I feel like I got a pretty well-rounded experience just in terms of what types of medical issues are out there, so to speak. And I observed a lot of the struggles that patients have with obesity, with diabetes, and with a lot of other related conditions, and how difficult it is for them to manage those or to try to fix those, and how frequently they fail or how infrequently they succeed in kind of overcoming those issues. Fast forward just a little bit to 2016. One day I was working in an urgent care, and I had some downtime, a lot more than usual. I actually had a few hours where no patients came into the urgent care, just randomly. And a couple days before that, I had been starting to research the ketogenic diet. Just a little bit. I hadn't learned very much about it yet, but I knew there was this video that I wanted to watch, and so I checked it out. It was a video done by Dr. Peter Attia, and he basically explained the biochemistry and physiology of the ketogenic diet, how it works and everything, and then his own experience with it as well, because he was on it for a couple years and he fixed some health problems that he was having, which included being overweight and having some insulin resistance and things like that. After watching that video, I got super excited about the ketogenic diet and basically thought, wow, this is like a miracle drug, which it kind of is to some extent. I'll get into the nuances more in future podcast episodes. But I definitely got excited enough that I wanted to try it myself. And it was interesting how I thought back to medical school, in other words, podiatric medical school, and how I had heard of the ketogenic diet back then, but it was literally a footnote in one of the nutrition chapters, and it mentioned that they use the ketogenic diet for kids with seizures. If they couldn't get rid of the seizures using medications, then they would put them on a ketogenic diet, which is true and still true to this day. But anyway, I learned a lot more about it, decided I was going to try it. And very soon after that, I listened to some other podcast episodes. One in particular was kind of a starting point as it related to fasting. And that was, the podcast is called STEM Talk, and the guest was Mark Mattson. So he's a professor who's done research into fasting and the health benefits of fasting for many years. And so he talked about it, and he mentioned a bunch of benefits, which I found interesting. He also talked about just how it kind of fits into modern society. And they asked him at one point, why do you think people eat three meals a day? And he basically said it's probably because of with the Industrial Revolution and agriculture and things that people just got into the habit of it was convenient to eat at those certain times of day, like before you start working for the day and then take one break in the middle of the day and stuff like that. But the part of the point there, of course, is that historically, for most of human history, people did not eat three meals a day. So that's kind of a modern phenomenon. So after listening to that and watching that video with Dr. Attia about the ketogenic diet, I listened to a bunch of other podcasts and did a bunch of other research and learning. And ultimately, I decided to start by trying the 5-2 diet, which is sometimes categorized as a type of intermittent fasting. It's really just like intermittent calorie restriction, where 2 days a week you cut your calories way down. But I tried that for a while. It was interesting. It wasn't a great fit for me personally, but it was interesting. And then right after that, I started doing a ketogenic diet, and I did it for a few months, basically continuously. And then I've done it off and on since then. So overall, I've done it for several months, probably at least a year worth, actually. So fast forward just a little bit more. Now we're in 2017. I had, again, heard Tim Ferriss talking about some of these topics, including fasting, and I read a little bit about what type of fasting he did, and ultimately I decided to try fasting for 5 days. My motivation at the time was kind of just some stomach discomfort that I was having and things where I thought, maybe this will help a little bit. And I just thought it would be cool as well. I'd heard about some other health benefits, as I mentioned. So I went ahead and did it. It was kind of a modified fast where I was still eating just a tiny bit of food each day, but a really small amount. And it was cool, but nothing to really write home about other than the fact that I did it, which was remarkable, I guess, to me at the time. But while I was doing that fast, I was thinking about fasting, obviously. And I was like, I wonder if there are any podcasts about fasting. And this was way back in 2017, remember, beginning of the year. And so there were almost no podcasts about fasting. Now there are tons of them. But I did find one podcast about fasting. It was called Fasting Talk. And the host was Jimmy Moore, but the main guests were Dr. Jason Fung and Megan Ramos. So that was a major turning point as well, because since then I've learned so much from Dr. Fung and from Megan Ramos. So Dr. Fung runs an obesity clinic. He started out as a nephrologist, a kidney specialist, but ultimately ended up treating a lot of patients who were dealing with obesity and diabetes in Toronto for a long time. Now they kind of do it online, but they've helped tons of people lose weight and reverse diabetes. And their main tool, not their only tool, but their main tool is fasting. So they have so much experience, and it's been really great to learn a lot from them. I've read several of Dr. Fung's books and listened to him and Megan Ramos on many podcast episodes. So getting back to the point here. So that was back in 2017. That's when I first learned about them. And a few months after that 5-day fast, I decided to try a 1-week fast. And at that point, I was more willing to limit down to almost no calories, almost nothing. I was just having a few little supplements. I don't remember exactly what it was at that point. And then several months after that, in September 2018, I did an 8.5-day fast. And that time, I experienced some more, I guess, higher energy and mental focus, better mental focus during the second half of that 8.5-day fast in particular, that I thought was pretty notable and pretty cool. So that got me kind of excited about it. So all the while, I continued learning. Basically, it became one of my hobbies to listen to podcasts about nutrition and things like that, especially when there are people that could really talk about the research and the science behind it. And so some of the main ones that I got into were STEM Talk, which there are a couple PhDs that talk a lot about. They interview a lot of people about nutrition. About half the episodes are about nutrition. That's a really great one. Rhonda Patrick has a podcast called Found My Fitness. So I've listened to many of those episodes on her podcast. And then some other guests in particular that I heard on some of these podcasts and some other podcasts were Dominic D'Agostino. He's a researcher that mainly focuses on the ketogenic diet, and he's been practicing the ketogenic diet for many years. Also, Valter Longo, who is the inventor, quote-unquote, of the so-called fasting mimicking diet, but also has done tons of research about fasting. And another one named Guido Cromer. I think he's Italian, maybe. Well, actually, Valter Longo is Italian. I don't remember if Cromer is Italian. But anyway, he talks a lot about autophagy and other things related to that. He's done a lot of research about autophagy, which, of course, I'll get into in future episodes. But basically, like I said, it became a hobby of mine to learn about all this stuff. And so I was reading books, I was listening to podcasts, I was reading articles. And every time I learned something, I kind of wanted to go one more step and say, oh, what's the next thing after that? And you know, each thing I learned brought up new questions. And so I kept digging and kind of learning more. And then after a while, I heard Sachin Panda. He's another PhD researcher. I heard him interviewed on Dr. Rhonda Patrick's podcast. And he talks mainly about, and researches mainly about, time-restricted eating, also called time-restricted feeding, and popularly known as intermittent fasting. So his main thing is about the time-restricted eating, which of course means you eat your food in a shorter window of time each day. And he talked a lot about the benefits of that, some research that he had done showing various health benefits, and I thought that was pretty cool. And so that's where I started really getting into the daily time-restricted eating. That was in late 2017. So a lot of stuff happened that year in terms of my journey and the things that I learned. I started using an app at that point to track my fasting times each day, which made things a little more habitual, a little more regular, and kind of just helped me see what it was like to do it very consistently. So jumping ahead to 2018, I did some longer fasts. The most noteworthy one was in April 2018. I fasted for 10 days. And I didn't eat basically anything at all, but I did drink a lot of salty stuff like bouillon and had some dill pickles, which have basically zero calories, but a lot of salt. So I just tried to increase my salt intake a lot. And I found that that was the easiest prolonged fast that I had done. And I felt the most euphoric. I felt very focused. I felt just really good, really, really positive mood. And it was really easy to process information and to think about things during most of those 10 days. So that one was really notable and really made me think more about how I wanted to share this with other people. So I did several more fasts over the ensuing years. sometimes for a week, sometimes for a few days, sometimes for one day. I've done all of those many times at this point. So I have a lot of personal experience, and I've continued to learn, continued to read books about fasting, about nutrition, about related topics, listened to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of articles, watched a lot of videos. And I've continued to work in the emergency room, so I've continued to see the downstream effects of things like obesity, diabetes, and many other related conditions. I say that because, in my opinion, most long-term illnesses are related to diabetes or obesity or both. Anyway, I've continued to see those downstream effects, all the complications, the people that have to get hospitalized because of some blood sugar problem or some infection that's probably related to their diabetes, and so forth. So whenever I see that, I often think about how those conditions could probably be prevented through some lifestyle changes, and often pretty simple lifestyle changes. At least in theory, they're simple. Things like not eating as often or making a bit of a change to the type of food that people are eating. So that sounds simple, but in practice, in real life, it's not that simple because people are so accustomed to doing it a certain way. So over the past couple years leading up to today, I've continued to work in the ER. I've continued to learn about these topics, and I've even been answering questions of friends and family members and kind of doing some informal coaching in some cases and sharing some of the information with my patients in the ER at times. But in 2020 is when I finally started my own website about the health benefits of fasting. It's called Fasting Well, the same as this podcast name, fastingwell.com. And so I've been blogging about it the last year and a half. I've written several articles, some of which dive pretty deep into the science of fasting and the health benefits of fasting. So if you haven't checked that out, go over there and check it out, and you'll probably find some articles that would be worth reading. Certainly don't need to read them all at once, but maybe one every few days or something like that, and kind of work your way through it. And I think you'll learn a ton, to be honest, because I put a lot of time and effort into that website so far. And I've also been sending out an email newsletter a couple times a month and sharing additional tips and strategies and information related, often related to fasting, with my email insiders. So that's another thing you can do if you want to learn more about this, by the way, is just go to my website, fastingwell.com, and you can become an email insider and get some insider tips that I sometimes only share with email subscribers because that's just how it works out. If I have an idea and I share it in an email, I may or may not publish it on my blog because I might not get around to it, basically. So, and I've learned from the experience. For example, people respond to my emails and share their experiences or ask questions. And so I've learned more about what people are struggling with and how I can help them. So all these experiences have led me to want to share this information with more people. And one way to do that is through podcasting. In fact, I don't do that much reading most of the time. I usually listen instead. I listen to audiobooks and I listen to podcasts. So if I were trying to reach somebody like myself, it would be more effective to do it through a podcast. So if there are other people out there like that, that's what this podcast is for. All right, so that pretty much wraps it up. As I mentioned, check out my website, fastingwell.com, and join the email newsletter. That's the best way to stay in touch and stay up to date on the things that I'm working on. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, because that's a good way to always know when there are new episodes and things like that. But that's it for today. So I'll see you in the next episode of the Fasting Well podcast. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.